Blessed are those who dwell in his house.
Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty, come bless our land. And for some reason, I want to sing, hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty, come heal our land. I don't know why that word keeps sneaking in there, but because I guess they're both true. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
this love, Lord. Thank you for the nails. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
singing. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow, you can turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We're going to be starting at verse 11. I want to tell you about an incident that happened years ago. It happened right after I graduated from college, and I got a job up north. And part of my job was every morning I had to make a deposit at the bank, which is about two blocks away from the office. But around the time I had to make the deposit, there was an older gentleman who was blind. He would walk up the main street. And, you know, he had the cane with the red tip on it and all. He just couldn't see anything. Well, there was a warehouse on that same street, and there was a tractor trailer backing up to the sidewalk. And I see him walking. I'm about maybe 100 feet away from him. And it was like something bad was going to come of this, because he was walking right into the path of the trailer. The driver didn't see him. Of course, he couldn't see the truck. And I ran, and I literally tackled him out of the way of the trailer. So when I asked him if he was okay, he started yelling at me. This is a true story. He started yelling at me. And I said, "You were within inches of getting hit by the trailer or the truck." And he says to me, "Let him hit me." Just like that. And I said, gee, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I interfered. You know, it was the right thing to do. But I don't know what happened in this gentleman's life. I don't know how he went blind. I don't know what was going through his mind at that point. But I imagined in my own mind, reflecting back on it, I ran into Ebenezer Scrooge himself. You know, bah humbug. And it raises the question in my mind, why is it hard for some of us, let me rephrase that, why is it hard for all of us at times to say thank you? Why is that so difficult? You know, parents try to instill this in their children at an early age, right? You'll hear a parent, if the child asks for something, well, what's the magic word? All right, please. And when you give it to them, they're supposed to follow it with what?
Thank you.
Thank you. You learn well. So, you know, it's not uncommon for a parent to teach this, but let me just raise a question, and this entails you coming before God and letting the Holy Spirit say, is there any of this in me? Here's the question. Isn't it true that when we think we are entitled to something or someone, or in some way we're somebody's obligated to us to do something for us, we have a problem saying please and thank you? Right. I'll give you another incident from my childhood. I had an aunt. She was a lovely woman she lived in the Bronx. Most of my family lived in the Bronx. We were the one of the few rebels that lived in New Jersey. And excuse me. My mother came from a large family. She was one of seven. So every Sunday we'd be at different houses having, of course, pasta on Sunday afternoon. But when my aunt came over to our house, she always gave me a dollar. A dollar back in those days was a lot of money. That was 10 ice cream sandwiches, right? But it got to the point where I looked forward, not that my aunt was coming, but the fact I was going to get the dollar. I could care less about my aunt. Have you ever been there? You know, it's part of our sinful nature, and we have to be careful. Some of you who've had kids may have played this game with your kids. You take money, you know, put it in your hand, or maybe a piece of candy. You close your fist around them, and you say to the child, if you can open my hand, you can take whatever is there. Of course, what do you think they're going to do? They're gonna try to pry it open. Of course, you let them, and they take the candy, thank you, or the money, and what do they ultimately do? Shove the hand away, and they're off and gone. So I got to raise the question, how do we say thanks? Why is it so difficult for us at times to say thanks? Since I don't know if I'll see you on Wednesday night, because I know everybody gets busy, I hope I'll see some of you or most of you on Wednesday night. Let me just say to all of you, thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming here, and thank you for being a part of this. So and thanks has to be genuine. It can't be something that's fake, right? That's called flattery. But it has to be genuine. I want you to look at this passage that we're going to enter into this morning. It's kind of a eye-opening passage, at least for me it is, and I hope it is for you. This is the account of Jesus coming across 10 lepers, all right? So, verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border of Samaria and Galilee. Now, you have to understand that the Jews did not like the Samaritans, because the Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile, and the Samaritans did not like the Jews, okay? So Jesus always pushed it, right? He's walking along the border. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy there met him, and they stood at a distance, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Wow. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, as they were traveling to the priests, what happened? They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was who? Isn't that odd? He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Wow. And as I read through this, what kept coming to my mind is that we really are living in a culture that almost promotes entitlement, right? You're entitled to this, you're entitled to that, you're entitled to this. And believe me, I don't want to get political here, but once the government promises to provide for you things that you should be responsible to provide for yourself, it is so hard to take those back after a while, isn't it? After a while, you feel like I'm entitled. I'm entitled. Listen, there are some insights here, I think, that Jesus gives to us through this passage that provide a window into how sinful our human heart can be when it comes to this issue of being entitled, this issue of taking things for granted, this issue of believing we deserve something. The fact of the matter is that you and I deserve nothing. Here we have 10 men, both Jews and Samaritans, by the way, who have been isolated outside the village because of leprosy. Now, leprosy, in Jesus' day, that word was used for any contagious skin disease. But let's assume that this is the real thing for a moment. It says they kept their distance. Why? Because they were contagious. Leprosy is a horrible disease. It's caused by a bacteria that's similar to tuberculosis, by the way. And what happens over time is that the nerve endings on the skin deaden and the skin begins to die. And it's a really painful and horrible disease. And once you were diagnosed with it, the officials of the town, both the the priest and the town officials, isolated you into what we call leper colonies, right? Excuse me one second. It was a terrible disease. Jesus was coming their way. So the 10 of them got together and they cried out and asked for mercy. "Have pity on us, Master. Have pity on us." Another way of saying that is they were asking Jesus for what? A gift. "Jesus, have pity on us. Heal us." And they were asking for the gift. For them, there was no other hope of healing. For them, it was isolation. It was a continuing disease that ultimately would probably result in their death. There was no hope of healing and wholeness apart from Christ. You and I have a terminal disease. It's called sin. That's what we're born with. We're born rebels against God. You know this, but I want you to catch the magnitude of this. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Eternal separation from God in a place of torment that the Bible calls hell. I heard the other day, I listened to an oldie station, and John Lennon's Imagine came on, right? Imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no hell. And we live in a culture that wants to do away not only with God, but wants to do away even with the concepts of heaven and hell. And Here's the thing that I found out over my many years. If something is true, believing it's not true is not going to make it go away. It's just not going to happen, all right? But so we have a problem. That problem is sin, our sin nature that we inherit from Adam. For us, we have no hope of healing and wholeness and forgiveness apart from who? Jesus Christ, through faith and repentance. We were in just as dire need as these lepers were. It's easy to see when somebody's hurting on the outside, isn't it? It's quite a different thing to see when somebody's hurting on the inside. Most times, sin hurts us on the inside. And Jesus is our only hope. One of the things I appreciate about some of the Reformed theology that I've read is that they make a big point, and I think as evangelicals, we gloss over this a little too much, but they make a point that when we finally come to the end of ourselves, when we finally realize and we get to a point where we know that the only solution to our problem is Jesus, we're to cry out for mercy. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. The second thing I want to point out to you is that Jesus gracefully granted their request. Was Jesus obligated? No. But he gracefully, which means he gave them what they don't deserve. Healing. He healed and cleansed all 10 of them. You know, and it's hard because without a lot of information, it's hard to know what the motives of the other 9 were. I'm not quite sure. I do know this, though, that when we truly realize the magnitude of what Jesus has done for us, it should, I underline should, always show itself in thanksgiving. Always. They went along to the priest. As they walked along, their skin started to heal as they walked along. If they had sores, they were healed. The skin got its color back again. Right? Wow, can you imagine? He gave them what they graciously Jesus graciously gave them what they asked. And the third thing is only one came back. Not even a Jew. One of the enemy came back. A Samaritan. He came back. He was thankful for Jesus graciously did for him. He actively showed thanks and gratitude to the giver, to the giver of the gift. I think back on those days where my aunt came and gave me that dollar, and I would literally just take it and run, right? I felt like a big shot one time. I bought ice cream sandwiches for the kids in the neighborhood. I thought it was a big deal. It would have been so much better if I just took time and say thank you and gave her a big hug. Wouldn't it? But how many of us have been guilty of such things? And listen, I was raised in a Roman Catholic church. And in the Roman Catholic church, they celebrate what's called a Eucharist, right? In fact, they call the host, the Eucharist. Eucharist is Greek word. It's in the New Testament, by the way. Not used in that context, but it's a Greek word. I feel like my fat Greek wedding, okay? It's a Greek word. Do anybody know what the word means? It means thankful. Eucharist means thankful. We're thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We're thankful for the gift of our salvation by faith alone. We're thankful. Now, do you remember before that I said to you that there's a difference between just saying thanks and showing thanks? Excuse me. Samaritan came back. He actively showed his thanks and true gratitude to the giver of the gift. He praised softly, praised loudly. Let me come back to that. In a loud voice. I want to tell you something right now. We live in a culture that wants to silence God. We really do. We live in a culture that wants to silence the church. Listen to me. We should be raising our voices in loud praise, not against the culture, but for our God, who graciously sent his son to die for me in my place on the cross. And we should not hold back. That's why you hear me say, if you can't sing, sing louder. Raise the roof. I wish this place had windows, because we'd open the windows and let the world know that God is still alive and that God still is willing to graciously give people forgiveness and eternal life by simple faith in Christ. And that in view of that, we come back here on a Sunday and celebrate in a loud voice the goodness of God. So why are we so silent? He came back in a loud voice. By the way, a heart of gratitude is necessary for sincere thankfulness. True gratitude is both horizontal and vertical. Vertically between us and God, and horizontally between each other. True gratitude engages the heart, the mind, and the will. It's not just here. What a show in our lives how grateful we are to the God of the universe, how grateful we are to be called children of God, how grateful we are that even as we speak now, we have his promise that there's going to be a mansion prepared for us. Wow. We live in a small three-bedroom ranch. I'm not going to know what to do, right? I mean, just, you know what the biggest surprise is going to be? That I'm actually there. That's the biggest surprise. I don't deserve it. It's only through his grace and through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, there are days I wake up with a lot on my mind. I'm sure you do too. And sometimes it just takes one phone call, right? It takes one phone call, somebody calling you up and pardon the expression, dumping on you, right? And you woke up saying, I have a lot on my mind, but I'm gonna make today a day where I'm gonna cultivate a grateful heart and be grateful for many things. And you get the phone call and you say, well, that's over with. But listen to me, it shouldn't be over with. One of the things that I think this passage shouts at us is that we need to learn how to cultivate a grateful heart. But Pastor, that takes work. Yeah, it does. But it's worth it. It's worth it. So how do we cultivate a grateful heart? I want to just give you a couple of pointers here. If they work for you, fine. If they don't work for you, we can talk more. But one of the best ways to cultivate a grateful heart is to remember. What do I mean by that? Be thankful for our undeserved salvation in Christ, the great debt that we owe, that Jesus paid once for all. We need to keep that in mind. That's why in the New Testament, Paul says, I want you to come around the Lord's table, and I want you to do it often, because we forget. We need to remember. We need to remember our blessings. count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. I don't care what your, this is going to sound horrible, but I don't care what your particular situation is this morning. What your situation is this morning, and you may be going through deep waters, you're still blessed. You and I are still blessed. It's no fun being in bad situations. I'm not pretending to say you go around wearing a plastic smile, but you're still blessed. Why are you still blessed? Because you're a child of the King. You're still blessed because he's got you in his hands. One way or another, you're still blessed. We need to read scripture, pray, and be still before God to cultivate a grateful heart. Second, we need to worship individually and corporately. However that works out for you, individually and corporately, worship is key. Show gratitude and thanks in tangible ways. Man, to me, there's nothing more. This is, I'm going to get off on a soapbox here. I'm sorry. But this is where going to church is so crucial. It's so crucial. And it's not to be showy. It's not any of that. But in your own quiet way, just the fact that your neighbors know you go to church to celebrate Jesus, that you walk out to your car, hopefully carrying your Bible. Not in a holier thou than attitude, but what it conveys is God's still alive. He's still relevant for today. And when we stay away from church for no good reason, we hurt the body. We need to worship. Ascribe to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what's due to them. We need confession. We need repentance. We need to honor God. And part of saying thanks, by the way, is to be lovingly obedient to him. And then, third, remember that there's a difference between thanksgiving and ungratefulness. Ebenezer. You know, Ebenezer is a Hebrew word, by the way. You know what it means? Stone. Hard as stone. Stone. Ebenezer Scrooge had a heart of stone. Oof. Bah, humbug. He had an ungrateful heart. The only thing he was interested in was his money. Right? By the way, I don't know what rendition is going to be on during the holidays of A Christmas Carol, Dickens' novel, A Christmas Carol, but you owe it to yourselves to read the book. The book is much better than even the old renditions of A Christmas Carol. And you'll find out in the book that those spirits that were sent by the Holy Spirit in order to quicken the heart of Ebenezer. Turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Ungratefulness. There's two, more than two, but I'm going to go over these two. There are two byproducts of ungratefulness. A critical spirit, right? And a lack of compassion. Critical spirit and a lack of compassion, right? You show me, every church has these, by the way. I'm not saying any of you here are like that, but every church has these. You always have the critic. Got the paper out. This word in the bulletin's wrong. Music was too loud. Pastor should be wearing a tie. You got the I think the pastor polishes his fingernails. I don't know. And we go down the checklist. And that means we're here for the wrong reasons. We're here for the absolute wrong reasons. The fact of the matter, we are blessed for a small church. We have some great musical talent. We're blessed. However, if there were no musicians up here, we'd still be blessed. If we come for the right reason, we're blessed to have the facility to work in, to worship in. Doesn't have stained glass, doesn't have windows. It's a storefront. You know what? We're still blessed. And we should give thanks and praise for what God provides. Right? You have a 67-year-old pastor. Right? No, he's not young.
Yeah, he is. On the inside, he is.
And yet, even in the pastorate, what we have done is celebritize. And we have our favorites along the way, you see. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if you have a monotone pastor up here. As long as he has a heart of thankfulness and as long as he is preaching the word of God, you're going to be blessed. You see, image isn't everything. The heart is everything. Thankfulness has to be cultivated in the heart. It just doesn't happen one service. It doesn't happen just in a Bible study, but it has to be cultivated each and every day. Here's the way it should look. Monday, whatever time works for you, you spend time alone with God. You're still before Him. You take time out from your busy schedule. And you hear that still small voice. You read the word, pray it back to Him, pray. Put on some praise music, you know, however that works for you. And you cultivate a grateful heart. So even if you have the worst day, you can still say, it was a bad day. Yeah, but I'm still blessed. And then you do it on a Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday so that when you come in here Sunday morning, man, your guns are loaded. And you're going to say, I am going to thank God for getting me here. I'm going to thank God because I saw His hand through the week. I'm going to thank God because I don't even deserve my salvation. I'm going to thank God because He gave me a car that at least made it here. You know, whatever it is, then we come in with what? Grateful hearts, an outstretched arm, right? In the conservative church, when people started to raise hands and clap and not sit like the frozen chosen. You know, some people got disturbed by it and said, we can't have any of this in the church. And I said, why? We don't have enough of it in the church. You know, why? Well, I just don't like it. Well, why don't you like it? Well, it calls attention to themselves. Is it really? So let me ask you a question. Do you have kids? Oh, sure. So when they were real little and you came home from work and your toddler ran up to you, what did they do? How much more in the presence of God should we? You know what David said? After his wife yelled at him for dancing with half his clothes on, he said, you're the king. You made a fool of yourself. You can't do this. And David said, I would be a fool for my God anytime. I dance naked for Him. Don't take your clothes off. Don't take your clothes off. But he was trying to make the point that he was giving thanks. The Ark of the Covenant came back into Jerusalem where it belonged. And David was showing thanks in tangible ways. So as we enter the holiday season, it's a time of thanksgiving and giving. I want to suggest to you that every day should be a time of thanksgiving and giving. How are we doing at cultivating a heart of gratitude and thanks? Only you can answer that. Do we need to take time to slow down each day? Be with Jesus, read scripture, confess, and worship. How are we doing with actively saying to God, thank you? To whom should we show gratitude? I just listed a couple of things here, all right? Parents, teachers, physicians, surgeons, police officers, military, first responders. The list can go on and on. You know, we take the body's healing powers for granted, don't we? We go to a doctor, we have bronchitis, you know, he gives us medicine that we need. We get better. How many of us ever call the doctor and say, hey, doc, thanks? Right? I mean, it may sound far-fetched, but, you know, I can hear what you're saying. I paid him $75 to do that. That's not the point. You have a problem, you go to a surgeon. He's able to rectify the problem. Have you ever said, hey, doc, thank you? I can't talk about everybody, okay? Hey, doc, thank you. Thank you. When was the last time you thanked a soldier? How about a police officer? First aider, fire person. I can't even say fireman anymore, huh? Fire person, is that the right one, Chip? I don't know. I have no idea. So here's what I'd like you to do. If you feel led, nothing phony, sometime through the week, thank somebody. I mean, truly thank somebody. Make it heartfelt. Nothing phony, but truly thank someone. If you're able to come Wednesday night, come and let's celebrate. Because most of the country is going to be giving thanks to a turkey. I still say we should have lasagna. But we come to give thanks to the living God. Amen. Praise team. Would you stand, please?
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Are you ready to raise the roof?
Raise the roof.
If you can't hold a tune, sing louder.
Amen.
Great singing. If you're part of the choir, be here tomorrow night at 7. Because